were some hood rats. Well, these gangster chicks, man, they stole some food. Did we talk about that video? They were at Daily Planet, and they stole some guy's watch.
How'd they do it? Did they, like, it was a
they had sex, and then they took it away.
Oh, okay. Fool ended up slipping and shit.
And then the next week, those same girls showed up to the show, and the guy was watchless, of course. And and the guy was on stage. He goes, "Oh, shit, that's the chick that stole that fool's watch." Remember we were talking about somebody taking somebody's watch? Those girls took that guy's watch.
From stage?
Yeah, and they asked him, how come you took that guy's watch? They said, fuck that fool, eh? He was bragging and shit. he could buy another one talking all that shit.
Well, dude, that's how it goes, Dick. You're all flashy and shit. You're going to get your ass robbed. Not that you should get yourself robbed, but you're giving somebody an opportunity with criminal minds to take your ass down.
That night, we found out that one of those girls stole that guy's watch, and one of the comedians didn't wear a condom and came inside one of the girls. She said, "That's that fool that nutted in me." From the audience, dog. That's nasty, dog.
Hey, sometimes it feels good, dog.
Sometimes, right? It feels good, right? Like, you don't want to get out, man. And then, especially if you're not circumcised, you get the extra skin, you know, you're fighting. Oh, no, it's just all right. What's up, fool? Podcast.
What's up?
Yeah, man, we got a lot of things to cover. Like, yeah, you're radio station, motherfucker. You got shit to cover. You got a lot to talk about.
But a weedy weedy.
All right, man. First of all, man, we're gonna mention that we're gonna be at Tempe Improv this week. You and I with Fred Stoller.
Freddy.
I'm
gonna be there with Felipe. Yeah. Haven't done my act in 4 months. It's gonna be okay.
I don't know what's gonna happen. I haven't performed in 4 months since they ripped me off at Flappers.
I still owe him for a coke.
So we're gonna be at Tempe Improv this weekend, May 7th through the 10th. Chicago, May 16th and 17th at Joe's Bar. Both shows Saturday are sold out. But there's only 50 tickets left for Sunday. They might add another Sunday show, man, where they said, "Is that another Sunday show?" And only half is filled. And the promoter walks up to you and goes, "Let's give away the rest of the half." It's all right. So you're going to keep half of the bar, and we're going to still split this weak-ass half right here.
So you look at the promoter and go, "How about your half, eh?"
Yeah, man. How about we fucking give away your half?
You're the one that wanted to gamble,
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, man. You're the one that fucking was begging me for a third show. I would always say that, man. When I do a comedy show, like, and I show up and like, there's 13 people and this fucking dude is telling me on Facebook, "No, man, this show's going to be packed." I always start off the show, man. I don't know what's going on with the fucking promoter, man. Why in the fuck is he going to have two shows on Wednesday? You guys should have been here for the 6 o'clock show. It was fucking packed. I told him, bro, don't do an 8 o'clock show.
Standing room only, dog.
Yeah, man. Cisco Promotions.
Shytown.
Anyways, people, I'll be in Austin, Texas at Capital City Comedy Club, May 27th through the 30th with Chris Thorin and Rodrigo Torres. Are you going too?
We don't know yet.
Okay, man, don't get excited.
I gotta chill. I never get excited. A lot of
people
were
People start making t-shirts. Yeah, man.
Personal memes. I'll be in Austin. What happened to the headliner in that picture?
Oh man, just add it, man. Boise, Idaho, at the Egyptian Theater, June 6th, one night only. Find other tickets at info@philippeworld.com. Tour. Never been to Idaho.
Never.
Only one time I did a tour. I did a show for some that guy Barry Neal. Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
How was it, dog?
It was good, man. A lot of people until they have that those kids they gotta take a picture with Flat Stanley. But I had a flat ass joint, bro, and instead of book. And I just rewrote that motherfucker. And I went to McDonald's right across the street, man. And the first time ever, I was a vegan then. They had fish fillet, but a double fish fillet sandwich.
Mm.
That means two fish.
I can smell that motherfucker right now.
It was good.
And that joint that you had inside that book, was it a surprise or you had it in there?
Surprise.
Oh, fool, those are the best, dog. It's like a little angel.
It's an angel, bro. It's like you're going through your reading and then you go to the next chapter. Finally. Because remember when you were a little kid and you're looking through the books and you're looking through the dictionary. I don't know if we said this already, but you go through a dictionary and some asshole wrote, "Go to page 5. Yeah. And you go to fucking page 5. Then it goes, "Page 36, quick." And it goes, "Page 36, page 7. Go to page 7. Finally, man, page 10. And then all he drew was a big fat dick, sucker dick.
That was a big fat lady, your mom.
Your mom, man. Yeah.
It's her selfie.
So that was it, man. And that's it. And Cinco de Mayo, fool. Cinco de Mayo.
Hell yeah, dog.
The Battle of Puebla. Where
the
Battle of French, where 8,000 French came in to try to fuck up Mexico in La Puebla, and Mexico showed up with 10,000 shovels, but there was 2,000 people holding them, and they held down Napoleon III, bro.
And with fucking sticks and shit.
People, you know why white people celebrate Cinco de Mayo, bro? Not because they have cheap beer and cheap furniture that week, but also if France would have fucking came in and beat the shit out of Mexico that day, the French would have put in an emperor right away and started setting up shop and helped the Confederacy beat the Union. So check that, motherfuckers.
Yeah, so
Mexico
did not get conquered France. But then they got conquered by Spain.
Yeah, man. But 2 years later, Mexico partied so hard from beating the French that the French came in and took over the motherfuckers again. And then three years later, these fucking French pussy motherfuckers were fighting all over the rest of the world. Mexicans came back, beat the shit out of them again, dog.
Trifecta, though.
Yeah, man. But what happened was during this time when Mexico was going through the France, they were still recovering from the War of 1812 when they lost most of Mexico to America. So, yeah, man, a little history there. What's up, fool? Well, we're just going to introduce one of these fools at the same time. Hopefully we won't talk over each other, but you guys are all friends here. We know what's up. We'll talk about everything that happened. We'll talk about the history of your ass, where you came from. Last week we had Miklo. Today we had two Miklos. We got
Meek and Lo.
We got a Canadian guy here. What's up, fool?
What's up,
Steven Gleekman here, man? from Nickelodeon and shit. He's on that show. What?
It's Steven Kramer Glickman.
I thought it was two words now. You should see what you're on my phone, bro. Who is this guy? Steven Kramer Glickman, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah,
America.
And Matt Walker right here, man.
Hello, hello.
A redheaded guy. He looked like Louis C.K. If Louis C.K. was skinny and nice, no?
Not nice, no.
He's skinny.
Skinny, yes.
From yeah, man. Matt Walker, he worked with us, bro, before, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did the Bray Improv.
And I know the motherfuckers at MySpace, by the way.
Oh, I've known this one for years.
I think I definitely did MySpace.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've known you, I don't know, probably 10 years,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, you know Martin Moreno and them fools, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's been to the Wild Coyote.
Yeah, I used to do Wild Coyotes back then.
Steven Kramer Glickman, you know, from Renee Sandoval, right?
That's where we first met.
How do you go from Canada to hanging out with Mexicans, bro?
I grew up in San Diego, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know. Basically, that's how, you know, there were lots of Mexicans around.
Well, you hopped the Canadian border to hang out with the Mexicans that hopped the U.S. border.
I lived with Renee Sandoval and Mike Muratori. No, in Los Angeles.
Oh, Mike Muratori.
I lived with those.
That's a freak.
Yeah, he was, man. He'd knock on my door in the middle of the night and be like, "What's up, Glickman? What are you doing? Come on outside." He was banging the door with a knife. It was just terrifying. And Renee would be high the whole time. And then we would have those parties at the house. You would come, and Gabriel Iglesias would be there. His big fat ass.
His
fluffy fat ass. There's a lot of those guys.
Yeah, man. Good time. Did you know a guy in San Diego named Frank Manzano?
I'm not.
It's the guy that goes he was like a deadpan comedian from San Diego. He has long hair. He's from Renee Sandoval's era.
What would he say?
One of the jokes, just the other day. No, here's a joke. I was do some Frank Manzano.
No, you're doing it right.
You're doing it.
He would do it like just the other day, and just like, you know, sit there and like long ass. He stretch out the words. He had that joke about the ant getting caught in the fence, right, fool?
He goes.
Was he the guy that wore the trench coat and had the long hair? Was it that guy?
That was Kumo D, dog.
That's Jay London.
Oh yeah, that was good.
That was Jay London and Sam Kinison, but
Jay London.
That was a Hamburglar, dog.
I hope Jay London owns more than one pair of overalls.
That's... We had him here last time. So he's wearing denim now.
Okay. I work at an overall factory. But Frank Manzano, dog.
Frank Manzano. He had a joke where he goes, where did he go? Fuck it. He got a joke. Anyways, he was a weird comic. Me and Gabriel were working with him one time at the comedy store in La Jolla. And he was headlining because he goes he's old school like that. And me and Gabriel thought that we were going to bump him, you know, like trying to make that fool not kill. Shit, we were young comics, man. There were like 10 people there. Shit, we were having a hard time just with 10 people. But that was up there. He was up there like a professional, man, just doing his whole hour verbatim. He had a joke where he goes, with every cause, there's a cause and effect. Last night, I reclaimed the Alamo. That gift shop will never be the same.
he's very logical, huh?
Very logical. Yeah, I know. I thought you were.
He sounds like a great guy.
So what's up, man? Waku, you over there all quiet and all Miklo style?
I'm good. Just glad to be back in town. I was on the road in Dyer, Nevada a week ago, which was a population 259. That's the kind of towns I go to for stand-up, let me tell you. Was that
a Barry Neal gig?
Barry Neal, by the way, is the only booker who's banned me. Banned by Barry Neal, which I was like, thank you. Thank you for banning me. So I don't have to go to your crappy room in Laughlin or your crappy casino.
Whatever, you do an F-bomb.
The Utah border. There was like a mix-up in schedules. So like, and he never follows up to like tell you when you're, like, I was booked for something like 6 months ahead of time and there was a mix-up in schedules. And then he thought I was supposed to be there one day when I wasn't supposed to be there. And then I get a call like Saturday morning, like at 7 a.m. from Barry Neal, like, hey, Matt, where were you last night? I'm like,
who minked him?
Whittier? Like, what do you mean? Yeah, I was in Whittier. What do you mean? And he's like, you're supposed to be in my gig in Laughlin last night. I was like, no, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. He's like, and it didn't go well. So I'm banned by Barry Neal. Oh, well.
Talking about cheap ass promoters and like show dudes. Doug James banned me one time, dog.
Oh, my God.
It's like getting banned by Triple. You know, it's like, okay, big deal. All right, I'm banned.
I told Joe Diaz all, yeah, oh, yeah, Rudy Moreno's cousin.
The last time I did a show with you, I got banned right after that show in Long Beach Laugh Factory. It was like 4 years, 5 years.
What'd
ago,
you do,
6
dog?
Years ago, I said there was
AJ Masada's cold cuts.
There was an elderly woman in the front row.
Richard puppet.
There was like an elderly woman right in the front row, and I said, "Hey, you know, you're a sexy piece ass." She was like elderly, like 80, and I was like, "Man, I'd love to have sex with. I love having sex with elderly women because they're already bent over." That was like the joke. It was like a joke that I don't do it anymore. But I said it then, and she goes, "You know, that's very offensive." And she flipped me off, and I was like, oh, lady, you fucking wish, you know. And I was like giving her shit, and she was Jamie Masada's next door neighbor.
Damn.
And she called Jamie, and then they banned me for like a few years, and then recently I got myself banned from Flappers Comedy Club, and like got into a fight with their whole like owner people. And when I got banned from the club, Jamie found out about it and called me and was like, "Buddy, you ever need to perform, you come to me. You perform here. I love you." And like now I'm back at the Laugh Factory, which is fucking great.
That's trading up.
It's totally trading up. I would rather perform at the Laugh Factory any fucking day. Yeah.
You're banned from Flappers. Are you banned from anywhere, Rodrigo?
No, I only banned from a place in Riverside one time.
Where? Cheers?
Fuck no, that fucking, it's not even around no more, dude.
There was a pizza place
Limericks,
out there?
Dude.
Oh, Limericks.
Okay, I was on stage, and I just said some shit. Some lady wouldn't get off me, dog. So I just said some, you know, vile shit and fucking... They grabbed me, dude. The fool grabbed me on my arm. And he's like, "Your comedy career is over." that fool like this. What career, dog?
Yeah, you'll never work in this town again. And by this town, I mean Riverside. That's it.
But no, serious.
No joking, Rodrigo, man. You'll never work in this town again. But, man, I still got drink tickets.
Fool, remember that one time I got banned for tortillas, dog?
Yeah, Wild Coyotes, right,
oh,
Montebello?
My God.
Why did they ban you?
How do you ban from there?
Dude, I had this joke, what? Dude.
But took off with a scooter.
A Scooby snack, eh? No, I had a dude. I used to have black jokes, dude. I still have them. And the way I used to
Except
say them back
wine.
Then.
I black jokes.
I was really abrasive.
You gotta hear these black jokes first, bro. Before they say, "Oh,
I forgot the."
You probably thinking these black jokes must have been awesome.
Provocative. Compelling.
Compelling.
Cutting edge.
This fool just had a joke like a.
Quick, fool. Just quick.
But there was a black. The only black guy there all the time was
Big L.
Big L.
I've seen everybody get famous, and you doing it wrong. Your material is divisive. We're trying to unify the people, and you separating them.
And I'm like, all that shit.
I'm like, looking at this motherfucker. Did you just hear what this other fool said? But I was like, all right, fucking. So I had to sit in my fucking car for like 2 weeks till this fool and Willie had to talk to that fool. I was like, why that fool ain't inside? Oh, Silent Bob got banned. Banned. And then these fools all, like, one day they put me on stage with my name, Rodrigo Torres. And then Al's like this, oh, someone trying to go Hollywood. Like, what the fuck?
Because he used to go by Silent Bob.
Yeah.
Then he got banned. He just go by Rodrigo Torres.
Came back
Torres.
With your own name, yeah.
So then the guy who banned goes, oh, he's Hollywood now.
Yeah. See, that place was a crazy club. I never got banned from there, but I remember like being at that club once with Muratori. I think this Muratori was the night he got his third DUI. Was drinking, and I think he was drinking at Tortillas after the show, and then he drove Rick Ramos home, and then they got pulled over, and he's back to drinking now.
Well, Muratori threw up in my car after a gig in Palmdale when we got pulled over in a military base.
Yeah. Oh,
for
man.
Driving onto a military.
But he broke the window of, I forget whose car it was. He was in, it might have been Hadley's car. I know he was out with, I think with Jason Hadley, and then they were driving, and then he got really drunk, and then he started kicking the windshield while he was in the passenger seat.
Oh,
and he kicked the window out.
You guys fucking kicking it with Mad
he
Max
was,
or what?
No, Mike Muratori. He's a good time. He's crazy.
You know,
but
it was Mike Muratori and T-Rex. Do you know T-Rex?
Yeah, T-Rex. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, so the three of us went to Palmdale together to go do a show. And it was
a Pat Wilson gig by the gig.
Probably, yeah. We're like bringing
that was. You know what? That was fucking Dante's show, and we got out there, and he told us this is not a joke. You know who he is,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He had told us the headliner was making $200. The MC was making me. I was making $40.
Welcome to showbiz.
And Mike Muratori was making $100. Mm-hmm. And we go up. No. Yeah, and
that
we
would
go,
make me want to throw up in a car too, dog.
Yeah, and we go and get our cash from the people.
Was
and
there
the guy
a room?
Hands me,
was there a room?
The guy hands me $2,000.
Oh my
cash.
God!
We were talking about this last week.
And he goes, here you go. Here's your $2,000 for the show. And I was like. No, this is way too much. We're supposed to get paid this much. And he goes, no, this, you give this to Dante, and then he divides it up or whatever. Was I not supposed to tell you how much was in the envelope?
Fuck, we love exposés.
And I was like, oh, shit. And we called Dante on the phone. And we
let you know our worth.
Yeah. Like,
I like to see you had value in the show, Dante.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Ooh,
so,
dude, it was rough.
So you were getting $40?
God damn. I would have never talked to Dante again, fool.
And I haven't.
Yeah, cash.
Much, and
yeah.
I haven't.
$40.
It's been like ten. It's been
and
8 years.
The feature getting $100, and the headliner $240. Man.
Yeah, he was making a lot.
This fool's making a lot of money.
$1,660.
Yes, so was there a hotel at least?
No,
come back.
We
the same
didn't
night.
Drive the same night.
Oh, fuck that! I would have went to Morongo, dogs.
Oh my god!
The fuck?
Yeah. How long were you into comedy when you said, "Yeah, it's like sounded like a good gig"?
I mean, I might have been like 2 years in, 3 years in.
If that.
Fresh
probably less than that.
Look, when I met you
if
at
people
a,
like you, like, if people, young comers like you, they keep these kids going.
When I met you at Renee Sandoval's, I had been doing stand-up for a year.
Oh,
at that
wow.
point, I was brand
yeah, you,
new.
You moved to L.A. and you moved to Renee Sandoval's couch.
I moved onto his couch to start doing stand-up. Like, that was the plan.
Honestly.
Like, live with him.
Because that's how he and I met. I was hosting Dante's show at the Canoga Park Bowling Alley at the Canoga Park Bowl. I was
I've done
there.
That show, dude.
And then so I emceed that show like
I did. You were emceeing.
Yeah,
when
I emceed for like 2.5 years there, and then Glickman was in town doing a musical.
Yes, I was.
And then they were staying there. There was a motel attached to the bowling alley.
A manly musical
that they were staying
a
at.
Musical, dog.
Very yeah. cool musical.
Give it up for Andrew Lloyd Webber.
A musical about Jews.
That's what
old
it was. Yeah.
Jews.
Sounds
very
juicy.
Cool.
And then they stayed at the motel attached to the bowling alley. They came to the show, and then he would heckle the comics.
I was heckling. What
you look like
Sheldon
a fucking
Tuck?
Heckler, dog.
He heckled Sheldon Tuck.
I heckled Sheldon Tuck from
well,
the audience.
I started heckling, dog.
Oh, yeah, and then I heckled, and then I was like, man, I should try. And then I heckled him, and then Matt got up, and he fucking roasted the shit out of me. And we didn't know each other at all.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have to do what he's doing. And then I walked up and asked the booker, who was Dante, if I could do stand-up the next week.
Yeah,
and
in Palmdale.
Do it the next day. Yeah. And then
I got a gig in Guam.
It pays $6. And a tetanus shot.
That's but in Guam, you can live for a year on
if $6. If you went all the way that far for $40 at that rate, going to Canoga Park, they owe you 10 cents.
I owe them money.
Had a rebate. Oh,
that people still good. Do shitty gigs like that.
Hell
like,
yeah.
No? Like Chepo, right? They did that one time about Juan Garcia drove all the way. I'll tell you about a shitty gig, man. The first time ever, somebody said, give me $150, me and the other comedian, and we went all the way to Berkeley, just drove, bro.
Damn.
Didn't even ask where we're going to sleep.
With who, fool?
The devil, bro. We didn't know where we were going to sleep at. We didn't know the hotel. We didn't know who was going to pay us. We just knew we were going to meet a guy named Killer.
Shit.
And then we met the guy named Killer, and he's eating fucking fried chicken that he made at his house. That shit, it was horrible fried chicken.
A hot ass piece of skin.
Hell no, bro. That shit had blood.
Ooh.
So you know he didn't cook it all the way through. I said, fuck this shit, man. So,
a
man,
plate of salmonella is what he's eating.
We ended up getting a check for $150 in checks, but they don't know where to stay, bro. So we ended up sleeping at his pad. No, we ended up hooking up. I hooked up with a little fat chick, bro. She didn't want none. It's all good, man. I just went like this, went on the other side.
I'm going to mind my business.
I said, you want the wall or the fucking side of the aisle?
Like, I did a gig once for $10. For $10, a $10 gig. They made me fill out a 1099. Like, I had to fill like the W-4 form or whatever.
Improv when Bud Freeman was there.
For a $10 check at a place down in Fullerton. Shit. And I was like, I have to do paperwork for $10? Like, it was crazy.
I went on the road with Monty Hoffman before he died. Do you remember Monty Hoffman?
Yes. He passed away already? The guy that drove the Harley?
R.I.P.
No.
He was the last comic standing.
Yeah.
He had the throat.
Well, he would talk like this.
And he was married with children.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He died? Wow.
Yeah, we died. We
died,
drove
what, 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, two, three years ago. We drove up to do Mill Valley, the Throckmorton, Robin Williams, his club. Like, that place was the fucking coolest place I've ever performed ever. Huge theater, very liberal town. He's like,
they won't leave you hanging.
Yeah. Well, they said to him, they were like, Monty, don't do anything about Obama. Everyone loves him up here. It was like while he was getting elected again. So they were like, don't say anything bad. And he was like, yeah, no big deal. No big fucking deal. And he goes out on stage. First joke is just like, hey, they're letting this fucking Obama run the presidency. It's like letting a fucking guy sell or some. It was just some horribly racist shit, and the crowd booed him. And then we get to the next gig, and it's in like this fucking horrible KKK fucking town. And he was like, "Hey, Glickman, you know they told me about the don't talk about Obama. Don't you fucking talk about being Jewish up here. They'll fucking string you up, you piece of shit." And the first thing I did was talk about being Jewish, and they were some guy in the audience was like, What room are you staying in? Like, they were just like, they like followed me to my hotel room. It was
like the gig I did last weekend at this place in the middle of nowhere in Nevada. Like, the guy's like, do you got any jokes about Jews? We like jokes about Jews out here. I was like, okay, holy I actually shit. Do. So I'll be sure to put that in the set. Hold on.
You really do have a couple jokes about Jews.
All about you.
They're all about me.
Inspired by Stephen Glickman. It happens. I don't know. I didn't know anything about Jews. I didn't know anything about Jews until I started hanging out with you, because like I grew up in Pico Rivera, and there's not a Jew within 10 miles of Pico Rivera. Only like Armenians. There's nobody there.
Only Armenians and old Italians and Mexicans.
If that, I mean, it's mostly Mexicans, yeah, but yeah. Armenians. Yeah, there's still an Armenian school there.
So you grew up in an all Mexican neighborhood in Pico Rivera?
Absolutely, yeah.
So you were the quarterback and every all the time, the pitcher.
No. Well, see, I went to school.
The leader of the debate club.
I went to school. Well, I wasn't the debate club, but I went to school with Jim Arianes, who was like the big athlete guy.
Who?
Then Jim Arianes, and he wound up being the World Bowl MVP. But I was in school then from kindergarten through senior in high school. So he was like pitcher on the baseball team, captain of the basketball team, quarterback on the football team, and then he was like on the Seahawks for like a minute under Mike Holmgren. And then now he coaches at some high school or whatever. But so there was like the big athlete. My big athletic accomplishment was catching a touchdown from him in the seventh grade, in the seventh grade versus eighth grade football finals. PE, fourth period versus
you
third period.
You really made your family proud, Matt.
It was great.
Catching that pigskin in
that all. Was it. That was the only time I ever did
anything
athletic.
Seventh versus eighth grade football game.
And then after that, it was on to Academic Decathlon. That's what I moved into. So,
which gets all the pussy. Everybody
totally
knows.
Gets all the chicks.
And where about you grew up in Pico? What high school did you go to?
El Rancho High School.
Oh, Pico, shit. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Fucking the heart
the El Rancho
of Pico.
Dons. Yeah. I was there in graduation 92. Like, when I was at El Rancho, they used to make fun of Whittier by calling it Whiteier. And now I've lived in there. I've lived Whittier now for 15 years. The only time I see a white person is if I look in a mirror. That's it. Like, I don't know where they left or when they went, but I was not invited to that meeting. Like, they left me behind. It's fucking bullshit.
This little by little, they snuck out to Diamond Bar.
Yeah, they just keep moving further east and east and east. But.
So what's up, man? You guys, what's up?
I've been friends with this guy for like 10 years, and in 10 years, I think I've been to when we like hang out, it's always out here. It's always in Hollywood. I think I've only hung out with him maybe twice, three times in Whittier, like maybe three times.
And it's a Hollywood love story.
It's funny that like
you're made for each other.
Even selfish shit.
Even when we go somewhere, like we did a thing down in San Diego. We did a gig down there. We were driving back and we drove through Downey and we stopped at McDonald's in Downey. And it's weird because like
you only made $40, bro.
So like we stopped there. And, like, I'll go places with him because he was on a Nickelodeon show, and, like, he gets recognized in Hollywood a lot.
Big Time Rush.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah!
My son watches that show.
Your son does?
Actually, my stepson.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm.
He used to watch it.
Big fan?
He says too old.
Wait, how old is he?
I started shaving.
He just turned 11.
Oh, he watched that shit.
If he's a boy, he's too old. If he's a girl, then they go to, like, 22, and then they're still watching it.
He was watching that show, and then, like, I don't know, one time I showed him a picture of you and I. And then he goes, oh, yeah, he's on that show Big Time Rush. And I asked him, what character does he play? He plays like this big douche manager guy.
Shut up!
Bro, that's what he said. That's your character?
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty accurate. Oh,
big douche manager guy. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
On the nose.
He's like this manager who thinks he's swag. Like,
that's me. That's what I
that's
do.
Totally right. Actually, yeah.
Can't fool little kids.
You go, Isaac Hayes, you nailed it.
Dude, little kids come up to me sometimes and they'll be like,
punch you, huh?
Hey, they're like, hey, what happened to the rest of the guys on the show? And I'm like, oh, they died. They're all dead. They died in a fire.
They grew mustaches, man.
They went back to Canada.
They all went back to
Canada. That show's big, huh? When it was big, huh?
It was really big.
Like,
it was
concerts.
Stupid big. Like to give you an idea, One Direction was opening for the band on the road. They were like the biggest. They were, we were doing like, 8-9 million people a week watching that show.
Oh, man.
In 110 countries around the world. Like,
blowing
I watched
up like Nitro.
It's crazy, man. It was
How many cougars wanting you, bro?
I fucked so many single moms.
I bet you did.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Tell them about the one at the improv. Tell them about the one at the improv.
He got laid because of Nickelodeon show.
No way.
I thought it was fucking Josh. What's the fucking Jake?
What was that? Wisconsin.
Josh.
Oh, they thought you were that dude.
Dude, people were taking pictures of me and said, oh my God.
They thought you were Josh. They thought you were Josh.
In the Midwest. Like,
I didn't even know what the fuck they were talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Just go with it.
I was like this at the house. Take another picture.
Did you watch Better Call Saul?
No.
Okay, because there's a scene in there where Bob Odenkirk wakes up and he's with this girl, and she wakes up the next morning, and she's like, "You're not Kevin Costner."
Yeah, you're my story was a little different. She's like, "How old are you?" I'm 34. Oh my god, you're 2 years younger than my mom.
Shit.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, there was a Springfield, Missouri.
God bless.
A little snow bunny. Yeah.
There was a couple. There was a girl. I did a show, the sex stand up and rock and roll show with Phil Verone at the Ontario Improv back in the day. Packed show. I headlined the show. Had a great fucking time. Finish it. Some girl covered in tattoos and piercings on her face comes up to me. She wants to like hook up, have a little time together. We go in the dressing room. We fuck around in the dressing room. It's fantastic. We move from the dressing room into her minivan. We start fucking in the minivan. I'm getting goldfish crackers stuck to my ass. It's like a little kid minivan. There's no kids in the minivan. It's just her. And we fuck right after we finish up, she goes, "Do you mind signing a picture for my son?"
That mom is a soldier.
I was like, holy shit.
Bitch, I'll sign your $40.
How about some DNA?
Did you have to move a car seat out of the way?
I did. I had to move a car seat out of the way.
That's funny, man. You were at the wrestler, bro.
Yeah. Seriously, I do. I've gone home with. I've met single moms in Starbucks. Comic-Con. No, like in a Starbucks in San Diego.
You've babysit my son. Night. You know that?
Yeah.
Sometimes little kids, 5 year old, they stay watching that show for 2 hours. You're like their babysitter, man.
I really am. It's weird. It's kind of weird.
It's weird.
Yeah, because parents it's why single moms would be into me is because they immediately trust me because they can trust me to watch that their kids are going to watch me on the show, so they feel like they can.
He's safe.
But it's like, you know, then you watch me do stand up and you're like, oh, maybe
I don't want that Jewish seed.
Yeah, that seems dangerous and uncomfortable. I'm like, hey,
this guy kind of dirtier than Bob Saget, kind of. You were on the show too, Matt, right? One episode?
I did one episode of Big Time. I was a photographer. Because I hung out on the set. Well, that's what I've been.
He fucked up so much shit on that show. He would come and hang out with me in the dressing room. He'd like hear someone say some shit, and then he'd tweet about it. And like it was in the beginnings of Twitter, so it like didn't really matter. But then I tweeted about
James Maslow's girlfriend, and then Miley people Cyrus got upset.
Yeah, he would do that. Yeah. And then
Miley Cyrus
would
be there too,
no
right?
Underwear. People.
Oh, yeah.
All the She'd kids. Huh?
Everyone would be around. Back
Gabriel Iglesias was working on Nickelodeon when he was on All That. And they give you a lot of gifts, huh?
Yeah. A lot of weird gifts, too. Yeah.
They give you like a scooter or something,
and an air hockey table. A bunch of weird shit. Like
shit that would have been awesome if you were 11.
If you were like, 13, yeah. You're like, this is bad.
They
best
kept
thing
giving
ever,
me iPhone speakers. And I got an iPhone. I am not kidding you. I got like fucking like 5 iPhone speakers from Nickelodeon, and at the 5th iPhone speaker I called them. I was like, "You got anything else besides a fucking iPhone speaker? I got 5 iPhone speakers. I only got 1 phone. Like, what do you want me to do with this shit?"
Surround sound.
Jesus.
Steven Kramer Glickman. Mm-hmm. How many shitty giftings have you been to?
How many gifting suites have I been to?
Ones, though.
I go.
Are you looking at what the fuck
like
am
every
I holding?
Week? Everything.
I do. When they send me now, I don't want to go.
Dude, sometimes they're fucking terrible.
I went to a one that was so terrible.
Oh,
I was holding vape pens with vitamins in them. I'm not going to take a photo with this. I'm sorry, man. I'm just going to leave it here and walk away. I probably walked out of there with an empty basket. I didn't get nothing.
He Holy got shit. The best thing he could ever get at a gifting suite, though, because that's where met the 2009 Playboy Playmate of the Year, who he wound up dating for 22 days.
Oh, what?
And
big
then
time
he broke
rush.
Up. After 3 weeks, he broke up with her because she was too big a pain in the ass.
Big
and
time
that
crush.
Give me your number, dog.
Is the most impressive thing I've ever heard right there. Let me tell you.
It's like having Matt Walker as your best friend is like having a hype man as your best friend. Having Flavor Flav just having him stand
awesome.
Out with a clock.
Rodrigo over here, he'd be like,
"This dude
fucked the
playmate."
So what happened? What was up with her?
Yeah, but she was a complete. She was a nightmare of a person. She would. She
it's
would.
All right, bro. Buy yourself.
Out of the 22 days we were together, she didn't speak to me for 10 easily. 10 days out of the 22 days, she wouldn't fucking talk to me because she was fighting with me about some shit that happened in her brain. Like she would like. I'd be talking to her on the phone, and she'd be like, "Where are you right now?" And I'd be like, "I'm at Cantor's, you know."
Which I'm in Palmdale.
And she'd be like, "You're at Cantor's? What is that, like a strip club?" I'm like, "It's a Jewish deli. Who's with you, Jeff Ross? It's a strip club, isn't it?" I'd be like, "It's not. Skype me right now. Skype me so I can see you." And I'd be like, "Are you out of your fucking mind? Like, I'm not." I was like, "I'll take a picture and show you
my
where
pickle
I
dish and shit."
I was like, "Yeah, just, I mean, every day it was like, I know." And then she'd calm down. Then we'd go out again. We'd have a great time. We'd be good. And then she'd fucking freak out. Who's that calling you? Who is my mom? Who is that really? You're like, it's my fucking mom. It's
who's
my mom's
calling
me. Who's
that man they call Silent Bob?
Yeah.
Damn, yeah. You had Playboy chicks, like with your prior and shit.
Hell yeah. Rodrigo, Playboy bunny pussy.
The closer Rodrigo got to Playboy chicks is paper cuts, bro.
You know me, I just trying to make the homies laugh, dog.
So Matt Walker, man, you any Playboy chicks, hustlers, bang bros?
You know, you get to watch
former
this
former stripper, but that's that. It. I've realized that all that whole route is it's not even worth it. Like you need a regular girl because it's not worth the bullshit that you go through. They're too crazy. Like this girl, she had a box cutter by her bed, and every single day I was scared I was going to get cut when I left in the morning. Like I was like, this girl is
hunger
not
dog.
It's
she was
too crazy.
By 9/11.
It's too nuts. Like I can't handle that anymore. Like I can't handle crazy. I'm done dating crazy. It's too much.
They're really fun.
Crazy always comes in hotness, though.
It does.
Crazy really never—you never date an ugly crazy chick.
It's a great time for a week, and then you're like, okay, now I have to find out how to get out of this without dying.
You're right about that, man.
Yeah,
I dated a Cuban girl for 3 days. It felt like I was in a 5-year relationship.
Yeah,
I wanted to swim back to Cuba, man. We were on a waterbed, and I was swimming on one corner. She was swimming on the other corner.
Felipe was like still petitioning Obama. He's like, no, don't drop the embargo. Keep her there.
Keep her there.
Don't let him in.
Shit.
She was crazy. You know what's funny, man? We met after a show we did at the Hop when Martin Moreno and Willie Barcena and Lakewood had the Hop. And she was there, man, whatever. I thought she was a Persian chick. So then we ended up hanging out. We went to Josh's house. Then we met these hipsters. I don't know what hipsters were, but I helped break into their car, and I got their car keys out. They gave me $100. We went to the house. Meth broke out from somewhere. You know, I didn't back then. I wasn't doing anything, so I didn't do it. So they did it, dude. The next day, she was on the phone ordering pills from every family member she could find.
Like. Oye, que necesito mi medicamento.
Necesito mi jeto, mi papacía, ahorita, necesito ahorita. You know how I get when I don't get them. So she was ordering pills, dog.
I remember I went to the back of the little Debbie Padgett, she was just like this. Hey, but what was crazy about that chick, that she was just crazy like you, huh, fool? It was just like. And then, all right, let's go eat.
She was crazy, man.
Like, just desperate, like, to, like, fucking, you know, a mean mandona, huh? And this fool wasn't used to getting dull with this.
She was crazy, bro. I think, and then, like, she ended up living with some girl in Arizona, some lesbian chick, who she lied and said she was a lesbian just to live with her, to have a place to stay. Crazy chicks.
Have you ever flown anybody in? You ever fly a girl in?
I'm not at your level, though.
Shut the fuck up, man.
Have you ever? Yeah, they're just coming down on a helicopter.
Yeah, Spirit Airlines, man.
Yeah,
Spirit Airlines, $8.
Yeah, bro. Fucking Birdman on Megabus.
You send a girl on a Greyhound bus, that'd be the funniest thing in the world.
Oh, man.
You flew anybody in.
I didn't get a credit card that worked 2010, man.
Oh, dude. This fool just kicks it with fools with black cards.
I can't. No, I cannot.
You ever flew somebody in? Before I didn't give somebody a piggyback.
I flew in when I was doing the show. I
How
flew
much
in
did Nickelodeon pay, man?
Not enough. But
so
I was
fight.
Back in the, you know, like during the height of the show, like I didn't save my money. I fucking just spent my money
I
when
spent
I was
it on
the
hats.
Show. I would do this thing. I would do this thing where
Charges
like
those are expensive.
They are. They don't. I'd go on the road and I'd meet some girl and then I would fly her in to L.A. on like, you know, JetBlue or some shit. The worst idea ever.
My
and
God.
Then I'm stuck with her.
Look at Don Simpson over here.
Because see, your problem was you'd always fly her in on like a Thursday night and have her going out on Monday night. I'm like, no, if you're gonna do it, fly her in like Saturday morning and have her going out Sunday night, like.
Fast.
Under 48 hours.
You fast. Can't... I did it three times.
That one from Louisiana worst. Who was batshit crazy.
Oh, this girl from Louisiana. You would not have.
You flew a girl from Louisiana?
From Louisiana.
Like the, from like the swampland of Louisiana. Like, not even New Orleans or
hold
Baton Rouge.
Hold on. We have her
the
on the line
nowhere.
Right now. Yeah.
Oh. You tell that fat piece of shit place. Right there.
He wanted me to bring him Bumble.
Southern girls are like, that accent is so hot for like literally an hour.
Nah, and then it's from like, you're from then Canada, bro. To us, it's all racism.
it really does. Then it just turns into Larry
Although,
the Cable
heard,
Guy.
Have you heard that? Speaking of that racism, like, you know that.
Did she look like Larry the Cable Guy?
No, but dude, this chick, we were sitting, I'll never forget the moment when I knew it was like, it was done. It was time for her to fly back.
Was she pretty?
She was very pretty, but we were sitting in a restaurant together, and I go.
Cantors.
And she goes.
The pickles.
She goes. You got a weird relationship with your dad. That's funny because I have a weird relationship with my dad too. I go, really? You do? She goes, yeah. No, I do. I have a weird relationship with him. Why? You got a weird relationship with your dad? I go, well, you know, him and me, we don't really talk, and he left when I was a kid. Oh, that's that's hard. My dad is the same way though. About one time, he stabbed me in the leg. I go, he did? She goes, yeah.
That's a tough ass threw, right there, dog.
Well, he threw a knife at me and it stabbed me right in the leg. And that, you know, really sucked a lot. And I was like, why did he throw a knife at you? He goes, oh, my dad's a professional knife thrower. Wait. Well, not professional. And I was like, okay, you know what? You got to fly back. You got to fly back. It's time. Also, I took her to the Venice Boardwalk, and she kept making me buy all the shitty rap albums from all the
rappers.
She had to go. She had to go.
Like, bitch, you got
to
go.
She had to go,
you
man.
Got to fucking go.
She had to go, man.
I was done.
I met her three times, I think.
Shit. Oh, my God.
That's the thing. He flies a chick in just so he can bang her a bunch, and he gets so sick of them that he's like, all right, I'm going to call my friends so we can all hang out just so I don't have to deal with her anymore.
Yeah, it's
so
true.
They can, so, like, she'll have to talk to him for a while so I can have a moment's peace. That's what it would be. And I'll be like, oh, fuck, I got to go meet this broad. Okay. You're talking to her, and, like, you just hear dueling banjos in the back of your mind the whole time while she's talking. It was crazy.
Matt, what's it like being friends with Steven? It was like that was the worm. Is he funny all the time? Are you guys fun just cracking jokes? Are you guys always cracking jokes together? You know any Mexicans I can meet? Never met one of them before. Just like that. And you're like, oh, my God.
And then she's
please
like,
stop talking.
Then she's like, I think I could start to do stand-up comedy, too. How do I start doing it? And you're like, no.
We're going to start by fucking canceling the fucking electricity in this house, and we're going to go dark.
Dude. There's some chicks that are pretty slick at doing that, man. They'll use a guy like you or a guy like me to just make it to California and then bone out. I knew a girl that showed up with another comedian, all right? They met on the road. She was a waitress, and then they hung out with her, right? And then they broke up. I never saw her again. Then I saw her at my pot dealer's house.
In the tortillas.
Right? And I said, uh-oh. And I wanted to warn them that this bitch is crazy, right? I wanted to warn them.
They didn't want
to
hear it.
They didn't want to hear it, right? They didn't want to hear it from me, you know?
Who's Felipe know?
What did Felipe know, you know? But it was the kind of guys that if I told them, they would think I was hating or he's trying to be my chick or how dare you. So I let it slide. 4-6 months later, hey, what happened to your lady, dog? Fuck that bitch! Listen, man, I didn't want to say anything, man, but yeah, man. That chick is crazy, dog. She's from El Paso. And then he goes, yeah, man, she robbed us.
Did she jack those fools, both those fools' money? When they were gone, she took off. They never heard of her again. No fingerprints, no nothing. The house is clean.
Holy shit. Yeah, that's what happens.
You ever get robbed by a chick like that?
I
get robbed by Dante, $40.
Yeah, I got robbed by Dante a couple times.
Dante. You've gotten jacked by broads before?
Andy Kirk.
I've had girls do weird shit to me. Like,
they tied you up,
a girl.
Bro.
No, like a girl. I broke up with a girl.
They made you
and
watch Best Time Rush?
No, I broke up with a girl, and I was like, no, I don't think it's going to work out. And she was like, it's cool. Can I use your bathroom for a second? And then she went into my bathroom and took a shit on my toilet. Like,
awesome.
Stuff like that. Like, there are some fucked up girls out there. She was hot, but she was a fucking crazy person.
How much poop was it, though? A lot?
It was just a little. It was like
a cat?
It was like the size of a person's thumb. It was like a small, like a cat.
I would have put that in a sandwich bag, let it go, made up with her, and then put that shit in her purse, man.
There you go. That's one way to do it.
Yeah, man. Fuck that bitch.
She was a fucking nightmare. There's been a couple. You see him every once in a while, like, you see him around town, you know. I don't know.
You trip out when those type of chicks that you've been with them, but then you see them later on with homies or people that you don't really know, but you see them, but you want to tell them, but nah, can't.
You know what? I did something kind of horrendous at one point. I set up a girl that I was dating with a
Matt
friend
Walker.
Of mine. Not Matt, a different friend, but I set her up with a friend of mine. I was like, hey, that guy over there, you know that comic? He really is into you. And then I went to him and I was like, hey, you know that girl? She's really into you. And then they got together and then they were together for like 3 fucking years.
Yeah.
And I got to like slowly back away like from the whole relationship.
You're like the Elmer's glue of love.
Yeah. It wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad move.
You were like Michael Corleone, bro. You saw the fight? You're a big sports fan, Matt Walker, right?
Big sports fan. I watched the fight. It was what I expected.
Where'd you watch it at? Where'd you see it at?
I watched it at home. I didn't buy it. I'm a nerd, so I know how to find these things on the internet.
What happened in the fight is like what was going to happen in a Mayweather fight. He's a point dude.
That's what Mayweather does. That's what every Mayweather fight is. It's exactly like that. And it's like, okay, it's boring to watch.
Protecting his brain.
But it's a real. It's an actual boxing match, right?
Yeah, it's not exciting. You're not going to see like Mickey Ward, Antonio Gotti. You know, you're not going to see, or Turo Gotti. You're not going to see that kind of fight with these two guys.
Mickey Irish Mickey Ward.
You know. It's fine.
I just kind of kept hoping that someone was going to climb up on the ropes. I was like, is that a point? Is that a thing? That doesn't happen in boxing, but it should happen.
He wanted Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
I really wanted just a nice. Here's a question for you. When did they decide that wrestling would be fake? When did they? Do you know when they decided?
The 40s. Professional wrestling has been fake since it was around.
Really. Yeah.
It's always drama and all that bullshit, right? It was a show.
Yeah.
If it was a fun, like, if there was a way of mixing that boxing match that we watched with, like, just somebody climbing up and hitting someone else with a chair, like, if at one
it's
point.
It's getting there, man, because we saw the Burger King man, so.
Well, there have been fights, like,
we're
going to
get there soon.
And
man.
Justin Bieber was there.
Do you remember Nassim Hamed? Do you guys remember
that? Yes.
That guy was the guy who brought that pageantry where I remember he did a fight.
He came in a carpet.
On Halloween, where his ring entrance took half an hour. It was 30 minutes for him to get from the fucking dressing room to the ring, and it was like a whole Halloween thing, and they did like the Michael Jackson Thriller dance as part of it. Like, he had like all these people, and he came out, and he came out in a car that would just drove at like 1 mile an hour going out of the ring, and it was fucking unbearable on the side. And he finally gets to the fight, and the fight lasted like 3 rounds, and then it was like he knocked the guy out because the guy was some, you know, scrub, whatever. But I mean, that guy knew how to put on a show. Like, he did not mess around. And there have been guys who put on a good show. It's just, you know, Mayweather's not that guy. That's not what he does.
He just puts on a show when he talks shit. That's what I love about him. It's like
the run up to the fight is very entertaining. The fight itself is not so much.
Was that HBO 24 when he was on there before the De La Hoya fight? He's all, man, I wish I was messing just for the fans.
That threw me off too, man. That they sang the national anthem
for Mexico.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then why?
That was going to be 15 minutes before the fight. That fucking thing is
like,
long.
And I didn't know that. Like, normally they do that if a Mexican fighter was fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why would they do that?
Probably, I think
took over. No, I don't know.
The acknowledgement of
Mexican
the
fighters on the other card.
Yeah, even if
a Mayweather and there's no Mexican fools, a group of Mexicans are watching it, dog.
That's nice.
And a lot of Mexicans were, going for a Pacquiao just to see if Mayweather gets knocked out. That didn't happen.
Well, that's why people buy Mayweather fights is they want to see Mayweather lose. Like,
it was good versus evil. People were watching that. With Pacquiao being this nice guy and Mayweather being this piece of shit.
Although Pacquiao's not the nice guy.
No, that's not the thing, but that's the way that people were talking about
the perception.
I thought I won the fight. I mean, he just ran and... I really thought I won the fight.
Pacquiao,
this is the fight where I really miss seeing like Larry Merchant at the end, like interviewing the fighters. Like, this is the kind of fight where I loved seeing Larry Merchant because he would go. I mean, that's when
talk shit.
When he told Floyd Mayweather, he's like, "I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass." I mean, because it's fun to watch because he would tell Pacquiao, he's like, Pacquiao, he'd be like, "Manny, you didn't win the fight." Like, he would just tell him flat out. And Max Kellerman kind of did that, but. I mean, Larry Merchant just was, like, fun to watch for that
stuff.
Yeah,
that fatherly dream crusher type
shit. I think
they
would have had Jesse the Body Ventura interview with fucking Manny Pacquiao. Like, where did you lose him at?
There were so many people on that telecast. It was, like, every employee of HBO and every employee of Showtime, they had to find some way to include them.
Promoting water?
Yeah, it's like everybody was... I'm like... You don't need like five guys up at top, and you got James Brown up there, like interviewing a bunch of guys, and then you got Al Bernstein and Jim Lampley and Roy Jones at ringside, and then you had like Roy Jones Jr. All these other people. It's just like, there's too many people. Like, how not everybody needs to be involved. Like, pick the best from
everybody.
Both teams.
Everybody. Yeah. Even you got Rodrigo Torres and Russell Peters interviewing Jermaine Dupri.
Hell yeah, dog!
Dude, we got invited at the last minute by Russell Peters. You know Edro. Russell Peters' personal assistant? I don't know, man, but they invited us. Hey, were you watching the fight? I was going to say what you said. Were mm-hmm. you going to watch the fight at? I don't know where I'm about to fight at. You know, I have a show at 12:30 at night.
Yeah.
So they invited us, bro. So they said, just bring beer. Bring beer. I said, bring beer to Russell's house. So we bring beer, and we get there, man, and the fight's in a big screen. My wife is there. Rodrigo's there. Mm-hmm. We're introduced to everybody by first name. And I was like, what? But I was like, I was dying to take a selfie, but I want to be that guy.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to be that annoying guy. What about you, man?
So we met. I was sitting next to Jermaine Dupri.
Wow.
And I met Lawrence Tate
and his brother.
That's the last time there was a Mayweather fight, I went to watch it with my roommate. We went to his brother-in-law's cousin's house out in it was his brother-in-law's cousin's house out in Riverside. So there's like chickens running around in the backyard. I mean, I was the only white person there. Everybody's Mexican except for me.
Was this
at
Lupio Rivera's house? Was this?
Might as well.
In Mira Loma?
It was somewhere. I don't know. It was like, they got the whole thing catered, carnitas and everything. It was great, but.
Taco ladies there.
It's pretty much the opposite of the fight experience you guys had.
Was it Russell Peters or Russell Simmons?
Russell Peters. Let's say Russell Simmons.
No, it's Russell Peters. Russell Peters had me. I went to his. What's it called? It was New Year's party one time, and I
liar now.
Everyone at the house they're all just comics, and the comics that and like the people that work the door at like all the clubs. That was it. That was like it was just them. And I go. I turn to him and I go. I go, wow, this is really nice. It's not what I was expecting, but it's really cool. And he goes, what do you mean? And I go, well,
minivan, single mom.
I just thought it'd be like a lot. There'd be like lots of actors and people around. He goes, do you see who the DJ is? And I look over, and it's the director of Swingers.
Vince Vaughn?
No, the other guy.
He was in Rudy.
John Favreau, is DJing, and then they go, all right, it's time for the countdown. And the guy who does the let's get ready to
Michael Buffer?
That motherfucker comes out and is like, Ted!
Glickman!
We were like, holy shit! It was the craziest. It was he throws a hell of a
party. That would be funny if Russell Peter would told you, you would have said, you had the door guy here from the improv. You got Brother Woods here from the Laugh Factory? Why are you here? Yeah, bro, I heard you got paid $40. Did you fuck your steering? Fucking Michael Buffer was doing the countdown?
That's that. He awesome. Had he had like a That's big crazy. Like the countdown.
Was that in Las Vegas or here in Malibu?
Here in LA. It was
wow.
It was before the Malibu house. It was in the old house.
Oh yeah, I was invited to that. I was at Flappers, by the way. Not getting
oh,
banned.
Oh shit.
Yeah, man. So I think next when I do my 1 hour special, since maybe they give me an idea, instead of walking in with a Burger King, I'm walking in with a bottle of a Tapatio and get a little or
Sriracha,
Fanta.
Uh-huh. That's a really good
get
idea.
A promotion.
Get the Fanta girls right there.
How much? Yeah. How much do you think Burger King paid
a million
to do that debt?
I don't know, but McDonald's is shooting himself in the head right now.
Yeah,
that fool had the Burger King man.
Yeah.
That's some serious.
Well, he was doing push-ups, real weird. He was like sparring, and the Burger King man just showed up out of nowhere.
It was weird. You see him, he's like, "Is that the fucking Burger King man?" It is, bro. I was like, "What the fuck?"
And then Jimmy
yeah.
Kimmel imitating Justin Bieber.
Oh, that was that was funny, dude.
That was great.
That was good.
Yeah,
that was funny.
Yeah, I like seeing man. Kimmel in there. That was
yeah, great. Man.
That was
Glickman.
Great. Hey, you know what we saw on the way here, which is just a funny.
Talk to me, Doug.
Miklo
side story.
Dante.
So like yes. So there are times, you know, where you get reminded of like what your career is and what it isn't, you know? And everybody has that. But we had this moment one time. I get this phone call from this company called In Person Inc. Okay. They were across the street from Hollywood and Highland, right there where the Dave and Buster's is. Across the street next to that Chinese restaurant. You remember that Chinese mm-hmm. restaurant? It's an old shitty Chinese restaurant. So there's a little place there called In Person Inc. And you'd go in there and they'd have celebrities signing autographs, okay? And they'd pay you to come in and sit at a table and you'd sign a bunch of autographs. They'd print the pictures for you, okay? They'd pay for that. They'd send a limo to come get you, all right? And then they pay you money to fucking be there. And then you get like, you have to take pictures with people and sell your autograph the whole day, right? So it was, they contacted me. They were like, "We want you to do it. We're going to pay you." It was like
a lot of money.
A lot of money. It was like
mad shillings.
It was a lot of money.
It was a lot of money.
It was
levels.
It was a
layers.
It was an exorbitant amount of money to be there.
To be there for 2 hours. It was ridiculous.
2 hours and sign autographs. Okay. So I was like,
well,
Matt.
Flying
I was like,
two chicks.
One for Matt Walker.
I was like, I asked him.
Throw him a bone.
Yeah, oh, hey. I was like, Matt, will you come with me to the thing? Because I don't know how this is going to turn out. I just want to like have a buddy like hanging with me. I was like, will you come with me?
Only if
like,
I can tweet.
He was like, sure, no problem.
Come on, bro.
We get picked up by the limo. They drive us. I live one block away.
You could walk there.
I could walk there.
Yeah.
They drive us down. We pull up. There are three armed security guards in front. Matt was there. They come out. They're like, "Mr. Glickman is here. Mr. Glickman is clear. Clear to go. Clear to go. Clear to go." They like get me out of the car. They move me inside. They sit me down at the table.
They have a whole spread in the back.
They have
spread
their food, everything. They're like, "Whatever you need, whatever you need."
They told you don't ever leave Scientology.
Ashton Kutcher shows up.
They're like, no. They're like, "Here's all your headshots. Here's the Sharpies. It's going to be great. We're going to let the people in, and let's open the door. In 3, 2, 1, open the door." Nobody.
Wow.
I think in the 2 hours there were four people total.
Four
that showed
people
up.
Walked in.
Wow. One of whom was a professional autograph collector who just goes to get everything.
Wow.
There was like a couple people would be walking by and like some elderly woman who like worked there, she'd go outside and be like, "Does anyone want to come get an autograph from Steven Glitchman from Disney Channels? Anybody?" And they'd be like, "No," and they'd just keep walking. And it was just this horrendous. It was like being paid to be embarrassed for 2 hours. Being paid well to be embarrassed, but it was like 2 hours of my friend and then armed guards standing around me with their gun like visible. And I finally said to one of the guys, I was like, "If I pay you a little extra, will you shoot me in the face? Because that would be great."
That place had weird stuff for sale too, because they had like you could buy a lock of Abraham Lincoln's hair.
Wow.
Like, how do you even have that to sell? Like, how do you know that's real? And
still
it's all
has blood in it.
It's gone now. The place went out of business.
That reminds me of when I was doing NACA,
mm-hmm.
and no, I didn't know. Everyone just passed by me and nothing.
Was that before Last Comic Standing? Or?
No, after Last Comic Standing.
After, wow. Yeah.
Fucking weird thing when that's when that.
Because you would think, I mean, they all
see you
on TV.
Because you go into it going, I'm gonna kill today. And then
I still have I still books show up, but not through them.
Mm-hmm.
Through Barry Neal. No, I'm just kidding.
Whenever that happens, though, whenever you get reminded of like where you are, it kind of
right now
like,
I'm going to remind you to give me your autograph.
Yeah,
right down the bottom, Don.
That would have cost you $40 at this event.
What's up, Matt Walker? So you're doing you're producing your own 1 hour special?
Yeah, I've got my special. It's out on Amazon Prime.
Awesome,
so you
did yourself.
Watch it for free. Yeah, just self produced. You know, it's. As you know, in the Hollywood business, you can either wait for something to happen or you can just do it yourself. So I did it myself. I got a film crew that we had come in. We shot it at the Ice House.
Awesome.
Edited myself.
John Ross.
Yeah, John was great. They do great work.
Shout out to John Ross. Uh-huh.
James Sandoval, those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic. Luis Sandoval.
Yeah,
Sandoval. So they did a great job. And they came out. They shot it. It was funny because I was going through the footage when I was editing the whole thing, and I realized the lead singer from Everclear was there. Like, I had no idea.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I was like, I don't know this guy. He just showed up to the Ice House that night when we shot him. So we did two shows that night. We did in the little room there, which is a great room when it's packed out because I love that little room there. So we did there, and then released the album from it about a year ago. The album came out, and then the video I released in December, and it came out on Amazon Prime, and people can go watch it for free, or they can buy it for $5 from my website. So it's a good time.
So it costs a lot to produce, like, 200, like do what? I think this place they want 300,000.
No, I did it for 1%, less than 1% of that amount.
Awesome.
You know, it's good, like, because I know how to edit, so I know enough to do what I need to do for that. So I already had Avid, so I didn't have to go out and hire like professional editors and that kind of stuff. So it was really the only cost was the camera crew, and then, you know, got everything back, and it took me a while to go through everything. And like the video specs for Amazon are really demanding. Like, you have to have everything at a certain quality, like it's really high-end video you have to deliver to them. So it was a little bit going through specs and making sure everything I had was going to be able to deliver that. And then once I figured out how to do it, then I got it all ready to go, and then it's up on Amazon. People can go check it out. So
where can they find it right now on Amazon?
Just go on Amazon, look for Matt Walker, Hater is the name of the special, H-8-R.
Oh, you can find Matt Walker, Hater on
just
Amazon.
Just go to funnymatt.com, and you can find links to everything on there. And if you like it, you can leave a good review. And if you don't like it, you can let me know at mattwalkersucks.com, which I also have.
That's a great website.
It's his favorite website.
I go there, and I read the things people say about him because they hate him.
Yeah.
Awesome.
A lot of people hate him.
Yeah.
Makes me very
you should
happy.
Get one, Rodrigo. YeahMan.com.
Hey, dude, that's a good one, dude. It's from longassrodrigotorresjr.com.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, it's hard getting domain names these days. Like, everything's taken.
Cause my, dude,
everything's taken.
The yours yeah. are when
mine's you, taken.
That's why you go
yeah,
Felipe
Esparza's right? Felipe's taken,
world.
Right? Yeah.
No, Felipe's world.
Dude, yeah. Dude, I hate creepy ass shit like that, dog.
He wanted,
who did?
Some dude wanted to a fan. He wanted $5,000 for it.
But he's not that big a fan.
I say keep it.
Exactly,
yeah.
Dog.
Yeah, because like...
That's such an asshole.
Because Matt Walker is a fairly common name, and there's like a lot of people named Matt Walker that are kind of famous.
Yeah, a baseball player.
Well, there's a hockey player. There's a baseball player now. There's a guy that was in the Paralympics. There's the drummer for the Smashing Pumpkins.
And a knife thrower.
There's the guy who's a motocross rider. There's a like X Games skier guy. Like, there's a ton of people named Matt Walker. And like, then the guy who actually has MattWalker.com is the webmaster for Vivid Video. That's the guy who has MattWalker.com.
Damn.
Because it was just his resume up there. And then so every other variation on Matt Walker is like already taken. So I was just like, Funny Matt, I'll use that. And then been using that for like 10 years now or something. So every website I try to get Funny Matt. Like, as soon as like a new website comes out, I'm like one of the first people to sign up just so I can get Funny Matt, and then I don't do anything on it. I just want to get the name so nobody else can take it. So I have that on pretty much every website out there. Like, that's why I have a Pinterest account, just so
damn.
I can get the name.
Jesus.
So what you got going on, bro?
What's up, Flickman?
I've got some...
flights?
I got some good stuff. I'm flying some ladies in. No, I have a girlfriend now. 3.5 years.
Damn.
We lived
together.
They
spent all day moving today.
Oh, it was the fucking worst.
Where'd you fly her in from?
Middle of Florida, bro, doing a gig.
Flew in from Newfoundland.
It was worth it. It was worth it.
She's from Edmonton.
We were moving
Buffalo.
All day, and we had Russians moving us. We had like a
moving. We did too.
Mm-hmm.
We did
you got
too.
Russians.
Mm-hmm. I have Russians. in a big ass truck?
Yeah.
Is it a movie service?
No, there's some bad motherfuckers.
Scared, because they were kind of scary. $59 an hour? Was it those guys? 3 hour minimum? Guys.
Yes.
I bet it's the same dudes.
I bet. Hey, these motherfuckers probably wrapping the fucking refrigerator with a belt and carrying them.
Oh my God.
Are you serious?
They're strong, huh?
They are. They're very strong. At the end, you totally appreciate this. At the end of the thing, it came time to pay, and I had asked them how much I had to pay them about, like, you know, like 3 o'clock or whatever, and they were like, it's going to be exactly, you have to pay $550, so that is what you owe by the end of the day. I go, okay, great, I'm going to go get some cash. I get $550, get in my car, fucking come back up, 6 o'clock, they're wrapping up, okay, now you owe us $562. I go, well, you told me it was $551, so now I have that, but I don't have the rest of the money. He goes, we are not leaving here till we have all the money. You have to pay us or we'll not leave, and then you have to pay more money. And I was like, no, guys, come on. It's $10. You know, I go, how about this? How about I give you $551, gifting suite? I have some lemonade. I'll give you a case of lemonade from a gifting suite. How's that sound? The guy goes, I wish I could accept lemonade as payment, but I can't. If I did, my boss, he would kill me dead. I was like, he probably would. He probably would actually kill him dead. Like, that is fucking terrifying. I
think it's the same Russian guys that helped me.
It has to be. What the fuck?
Dude, these fools came late.
They're so
apologizing. Because some guy lied to them, and the address was in Long Beach. So they've had to move. They came from Long Beach to finish that job and came to Echo Park. Dude, I never seen motherfuckers move that fast.
Yeah?
And I've had biceps, bro, get hurt, bro, on the job. Like, you know, like, when you hire, like, my relative, Mexican relative, motherfuckers always lose a finger. They lose a toe. They give up halfway. These motherfuckers... I don't know what they were on, bro. Dolph Lundgren, motherfucker. Bro. Little Russians, big Russians.
Little Russians.
Were not Stalin. They were good, dog. They were good guys.
At one point, Russians, dude.
One of the guys goes, what do you do for a living if you don't mind private, I ask? That's how he said it.
That's funny, dude.
I'm a comedian. And he goes... My friend, he work at the comedy club. It is called the Ha Ha. It's Ha 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 Club. I was like, Ha 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 Club? I was like, yeah, Jack. You know, Jack, the is that who it is?
I'm banned from the Ha Ha. That's another place I'm
banned. Really? How do you ban from the Ha Ha?
To choke a comic.
He got away, dog!
He got away from me, man. He's lucky he got away from me.
Who was it?
Choked a comic?
And
who was it?
He's trying to press charges, so I won't say his name.
Okay, why did you do it?
He's looking for a paper trail right now.
Why did you do it?
We're arguing, first of all. He's one of those comics, man, that always has to be right all the time. Nah, you know, I mean, gotta be right. You know, and...
make more money than you die.
And then I just told him, I don't care, man, if you make... You made $450,000 last year. I'm funnier than you. Mm-hmm. These people here know it. And your wife wants to suck my dick after.
Oh, shit.
Ask that bitch.
Like, well, not right now.
He
but...
smiled like it was. He knew it. Like it was true. Like, yeah.
Now, well, he's a name, you would say? Like somebody that people would know of if you said his name?
No, nobody would know him, bro. This guy does voiceover. He's a loser. Anyway, so this fool, man. I threw a drink at him, and he threw a drink at me, and then he ran from me. Ran, bro. But you know, like, one of those, like, when your little brother running from you, going, nah, 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 nah. But ran, and that's it, bro. And I said, you know what, that's it. But then one time I saw the owner of the Laugh Factory from the Ha Ha, and I was making fun of her because some other comedians that I know. And I said, wow, man, I heard you gave such and such a 2-year deal to host every weekend for $60. Goes, are you making fun of my club? Nah, man, I'm making fun of comedians who make bad decisions.
She has that face.
Yeah, I got banned. Banned in Montreal.
You're from Montreal.
I'm international
from,
over here.
I'm from Canada, and I got banned
with the mayor.
No. I went.
My cousin.
I went to this little comedy club, and it was a Pits. French-Canadian comedy club, and they let me be on the show, and I wasn't supposed to be. It was like a guest spot, and I go, hey, can I ask you a question? What's the sign on the wall say? There's like a giant sign hanging behind the stage. I go, what's that sign on the wall say?
Banned.
The guy goes, it's not for you, okay? Don't worry about it. You are an American guy. So I go, I'm actually Canadian. He goes, yeah, no, it's not for you, okay? It's French. It's not for you. And I was like, okay, all right. So don't think another thing of it. I go up to go do my spot. I enter from behind the stage. I get up on stage, start my set. It's not going well. Like, I'm getting, like, weird responses from people. Like, there's anything I say that's self-deprecating, people are like, oh. You know, like, it's not going. It's a weird response. It's a weird. And then I made a joke about.
Somebody help him.
Yeah, it's not good. And then I made a joke about the handicap. And watching handicap pornography, or something, or that I think it's funny to tell people in porn shops that I'm looking for handicap pornography. Something
he used
weird
to
like
have
this.
A handicap porno, by the way.
I did.
So he used to have one. I remember seeing it.
It was an accident.
Starting
I didn't mean
sick,
to
huh?
have it. it was a mistake. Anyways, I say this, and I start getting booed off the stage, and people are very upset. I get off the stage, and the manager is like, how could you do this? Why would you do this to us? You have no idea what you've done. You are fucking banned for life from this club. I'll never have you here ever again. It's the worst thing. I can't believe it. I go, what's the big deal? I just did a couple jokes. I pissed off a couple people. It's not a big deal. He goes, don't you know what tonight is? Look at the sign on the stage. Look at the sign. I was like, it's in French. I don't speak French. He goes, tonight is for Meals on Wheels for the handicap. It's an event. And I look at the audience from the side where now you can see and it's all wheelchairs. A whole audience, and everybody was very upset.
That's sad, man. And they all had,
I've never been allowed to go.
They all had reservations too.
Too bad you couldn't walk them. It would have been awesome.
They had season tickets.
I could roll them.
Yeah.
Yes, a bad joke.
It's weird when people show up like that. Like, I was a show with Gabriel one time, and there was like people on. There was a bunch of people sitting in the middle of the stage. There were five dogs laying on the floor, too, and they were all blind.
What?
Five blind people, five dogs in the middle. And nobody mentioned it to why.
No act outs.
Mention that.
Yeah.
You can't mention that?
Yeah, man. I was like, man. It was weird. I don't know if I mentioned anything, but another show, this guy goes, sir, how come you're not laughing at anything? He goes, I'm blind, but you're not deaf, you asshole.
I was like, I don't know if you saw this video that was going around the internet today about this woman who was on The Price is Right, and she's in a wheelchair. So she was on The Price is Right.
Gave her a
jacuzzi which like, yeah,
shit.
Like she, like
roll
you never
on
see people,
down.
You never see people in wheelchairs on game shows. So I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. And then you see that, and then they show the prize that she won, and she won a treadmill with a jacuzzi. She won a jacuzzi and a treadmill.
Damn.
It was like, well, that's just bad timing.
Can I trade it for shoes?
They should be able to trade it for something, right? That's not
a gift certificate.
Yeah.
So what you got going on?
So here's what's coming up. me and Kate Quigley. Do you know Kate Quigley, the stand-up comedian?
We
very
do
funny
now,
lady. She has a new show on the Playboy Channel.
Oh,
her
wow.
And I are doing a stand-up. We're hosting a stand-up show together at the Laugh Factory, which is very exciting in June. And it's an event for Zoosk, the dating site. It's like a big, fun, crazy event. So that there'll be stuff about that, and that's cool. And then this Friday, I'm doing Death Squad with at the Ice House on the main stage. So I'm really
can you talk about your
about
movie or no?
Sweet.
I'm doing a movie. I can't talk about it too much.
Star Wars.
I am. I'm doing.
What's up?
Are you serious? Hey, Star Wars.
He's playing. He's playing Jabba the Hutt.
I am.
Mukesh Nukata.
I'm doing a movie, and it's an animated movie, and in the movie I play a bird. That's about all I can talk about it.
Okay.
But it's a big fucking movie. It's
gonna be a
huge
big one.
And it's really exciting.
Real.
And
yeah.
And what's really funny about it is that my
Real
mom.
Real 7. Little East LA.
It's only going to be playing on public access television.
The cartoon?
Yeah, the cartoon.
Oh.
It's just for public TV. And
well, that's pretty big, though.
Hell yeah.
No, it's going to be good. It's going to be big, and it's going to be fun. And my my mom bought me a bird as a congratulations present on this past Hanukkah, and she gave it to me in the underground basement of Hollywood and Highland.
In the parking
lot. And
garage.
When she gave it to me, guess what it did?
What?
It died.
No, close. Felipe?
Shit it.
It did. It shit on me as it flew away.
Good luck.
As it flew away into the underground parking and kept whacking into the roof of the underground parking. And I chased it down with my mom for 4 hours like a lunatic, like a crazy person. And when we finally caught the a Mexican kid caught the bird. Like, he caught it with his hand.
Bird
and he put it back in the can.
The bird catcher.
And the bird is living very happy. It's back in San Diego. It's living with my mom. And it's pregnant. So it's doing
good.
You're
going to be a daddy.
I'm going to be a daddy.
You cut that fool slipping in a minivan, dog.
Like, it was
what's
weirdest,
so fool?
It's chilling,
weird,
dog.
Some weird shit.
Shout out to
life gets weird, man.
It does.
Hell yeah, dude. Twist and turn.
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at Stephen Glickman, STEPHN.
Stephen Glickman, not Kramer.
Stephen Glickman. At Stephen Glickman on Twitter.
Well, you can find your ass, bro. Rodrigo.
Instagram, Facebook.
Big ass Mayweather shirt.
Chilling. Hell yeah, representing. Shout out to the fools that came out to the Vegas shows, Backstage Bar and Billiards. Jonas took a picture with Felipe and Adrian, dude, from La Puente, man. Shout out. Thanks for coming out.
Shout out to the crazy people who drove from. Oh, there was a fan there. Shout out to him. His name is Robin Alyssa, this old ass man who looked like that guy, the conservative guy from Fox News. I don't know his name.
Karl Rove?
Yeah, he looked like Karl Rove. Well, slash that
one
shit.
One of those guys.
Well, anyway, shout out to this guy. I don't know if you're listening, man. This guy, he went to my show in Corpus Christi. Mm-hmm. He went to my show at the Houston Improv, San Antonio, Texas.
Wow.
And I saw him this way in Las Vegas, bro. Stalker.
Are you sure he's not hunting you?
He go, white boy, at my show with his wife.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, man, my biggest
making
fans.
The tour.
They
I
live
love
in
it.
Las Vegas now. We had fun in Las Vegas. It was
fun, cool,
man.
It was chill. It was trippy, dude. Like, even the fight night, it was crazy, huh? Like, you know, they were showing it there and shit. And
it was weird, man. A lot of people out there.
Yeah, dude.
The shows were loud, though, man. Loud crowd.
I haven't been to Vegas in a little while. It's too hot in Vegas for fat people.
Yeah, it's hot, bro, man. I stay in Fremont, man. More freedom. Fremont Street. I go old school, man. I go
hell
old
yeah,
school.
The original shirt.
Although now, like, all those hotels are getting redone, and now they're all expensive too. Because I used to go stay at like the Plaza for like $19 a night, and now it's like $75.
You know, it's opening at the Golden Nugget. Do you know about this? Liberace, the hologram of Liberace, is opening in a year from now at the Golden Nugget, and that's going to be the big new thing for Fremont Street. So there'll be a fucking hologram of a dead piano player on stage doing an hour show. And he'll do it forever. He'll do it forever.
They have the Liberace Museum there in Vegas because a friend of mine went to that.
But some weird shit.
I went to the Laugh Factory Comedy Museum, man. They have a bunch of jackets from the Laugh Factory birthday parties. They gave a purple one.
Or that shirt with a big ass chain on it.
Yeah.
The lobby of the Laugh Factory in Long Beach has like a little museum.
Yeah, they have a life size photo of Richard Pryor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the way they have those places set up. The Laugh Factory Hollywood. What do you think? Like, what do you think? You feel like that's like when it comes to like classy or like it feels like you're going to work. Does it feel like that? Like places like that, or like which clubs make you feel what? Like
I like the Laugh Factory, but it's like my home. I feel comfortable there. I liked it.
Yeah.
Everywhere else, it's just like I'm going there to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to feel really comfortable at the Comedy Store. Like I always felt like the Comedy Store was like the place you could just kind of like hang out, be yourself, very relaxing. But like on stage, I would be like, I always felt like I had to like, you know, swing for the fucking fences there. Like I was like always trying too hard.
Yeah.
And then like the Improv, very kind of seems like kind of a real easy going place to hang out. And then that stage always seemed like kind of a big deal. But the Factory, I like how it all feels like
loud,
heightened and big. And
now
crazy.
The Improv feels very corporate. Like you go in there and it just feels like
it does.
It feels very like cookie cutter to me.
Okay.
Since they redid it.
I haven't been there in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Since they redid it, it's just like it used...
I used to go there in the party days.
Yeah, like when the bar was the place to hang out before, yeah. It was just like a fun place to go. And then now, like the showroom itself feels very corporate. The bar is okay. It's just different and it's not the same.
It's the old way was better because you could hang out by the window.
Yeah.
See, you could look at people pass by. You could go way in the back and be incognito. You could take over the arcade. You could go upstairs, pretend you're in Portland by the pool table.
Pretend.
Everybody pretending, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
But some of the, like, you'd go there and you see, like, oh, look, there's Nate Dogg walking by. It's like, oh, that's cool. But
there have been times like, at the
Jermaine Dupri right here, man.
Who needs Nate Dogg?
There were times at the Improv, that upper balcony area where you'd look up there and be like Justin Timberlake or Snoop Dogg or some fucking somebody huge and crazy would be sitting up there.
I never showed up on Chocolate Monday. Or...
yeah.
Mo' Better Mondays.
Yeah, it's Chocolate Sunday at the factory, right?
That's so what's up, fool, man?
What's up?
What you got? You guys have a good time, man?
This was great. Thank you so much for having us on your awesome show.
A lot of fun.
We're here on Cinco de Mayo, bro, with two Miklos.
Hell yeah, man. Fucking well, Pico Rivera's pride and joy over here.
Cinco de Mayo is the Taco Bell of Mexican holidays. Like, it's...
Yeah.
It's not a thing. Like, in Mexico, they don't care, right?
Fuck no.
No, it's just for...
Mexico is September.
About September 16th, baby. Yeah,
September 16th. Oh,
that's when it
one.
Goes yeah. down in Mexico, though.
It really went down, bro.
Cinco de Mayo, man, just like fucking.
Yeah,
you know.
My neighborhood, they don't care at all, and I'm the only guy in my building that speaks English. So,
it's me too, man. I love Russians.
Yeah,
police.
Today, man, it was
police.
Today, they had a big Armenian barbecue outside, bro.
Yeah,
were the Russians excited today? Because it's Karl Marx's birthday today too, so maybe the Russians were excited.
They were maybe, bro. There was a bunch of.
Hey, dude, that's probably it.
I saw this guy lining up shish kebabs, bro, with pure meat and other ones with eggplant and vegetables. People getting down, bro.
Yeah.
Whoa!
People walking around with tank tops with hair sticking out through the hair.
you're talking about the ladies, right?
And those are the ladies. Hey, orale!
I remember we used to call Renee Sandoballs, and he'll get mad.
What's your Twitter, Matt Walker Jr.?
Check me out, Funny Matt. Just look on the internet for Funny Matt, and you will find me on any website you want to find me on.
Walker Jr.
Just
Funny Matt. And you run a lot of programs too, right?
What's that?
You run a lot of programs, computer programs?
Yeah, I mean, I do a lot of computer stuff, so it's, you know, I work on all that
stuff.
You do a lot of computer Pornhub, right?
I do, a lot of that. Hey, wait, real quick, Renee Sandoval, one time I was in a hotel room with a hot girl on a date, Renee Sandoval walks in.
You don't
in.
Date ugly chicks, huh?
No. I have
You're
dated,
an animal, bro.
I've dated a couple. I'm
he
sure
has.
I've dated a couple.
I've yeah. seen them. He has, but...
I didn't flew those in. I Ubered them.
I put on my Greyhound bus. I was like, get your ass out of here.
With those rugged good looks of yours, Glickman.
I gave him gas money.
I'm in a hotel room with a girl. This is like 10, 11 years ago. And I'm like, flirting with
skinnier.
The girl. Yes. Renee Sandoval walks in and he goes, hey, what are you fucking guys doing? Are you going to fuck my friend or what?
Give me a piece.
And the girl goes... I don't know. And he goes, hey, Glickman, lay down the hammer, fucker. Lay down the fucking hammer or tell her to get the fuck out. And the girl goes, I should just go. And she just got up and left. And then it was just me and Renee. And Renee fell asleep
like
on the bed.
Like in his boxers or something.
Yeah, he was just in his boxers and fell asleep on the bed.
Human. He busted a human.
Fucking cock blocker, dog.
Damn.
Lay down the hammer. That was like his catchphrase.
Lay down the hammer, bro.
Lay down the hammer,
bro.
Fucker.
What's up, fool? Well, thank you guys for being on our podcast, man.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here, Matt Walker, Stephen Kramer, Glickman,
yeah,
Rodrigo
man.
Torres, right here, man. The man of steel over here.
Mikey.
Yeah, Mikey doing the wheels of steel over here. All right, what's up, fool?